Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee this afternoon, beseeching thy presence in our hearts and in our minds, as we consider this thy word, Lord, that it would give unto us life, and that more abundantly through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray thee that we would be teachable, and that we would yield ourselves to thee, that thou wouldst mold us and make us into the image that thou wouldst have us to be in. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon, I'd like to read from the book of Proverbs, chapter number 13. Proverbs, chapter number 13. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. Righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way, but wickedness overthroweth the sinner. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The light of the righteous rejoiceth, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. He that walketh wise with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed for want of judgment. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. As we live out our lives, there is certainly much discouragement as we look round about us in this world and things that we might experience. And so my prayer and my objective this afternoon would be to share a word of encouragement and a word that where we can build each other up and edify each other, that that we could be encouraged in our faith to walk in the way that Jesus Christ would have us to walk in, and to, as Brother Robert prayed, glorify God as our hearts would be knit together in this desire to worship Him. As we live out our lives, it's important that we always keep a spirit that is teachable, so that it's not only when we are in our youth that we are taught, but that we would continuously be taught throughout our lives, so that when we are in our 50s and 60s and 70s, even into our 80s, that we would continually have that spirit of being able to be taught, of being teachable. And so whether it would be that we would be taught by little children who have that spirit of being teachable, that as we would see children, that we would be reminded that we would be teachable, or whether we see the power and the beauty of God's nature, that we would be taught through that as well, that we would see God's handiwork, that we would be amazed by what he has done, and that we would glorify him in that. Or whether we go through a certain circumstance in our lives that has molded us and made us to be who we are, that as we go through that teachable moment, that we would remember that God is teaching us, and that we would take those lessons to life, and that we would allow God to work in us as we are being taught. And then ultimately, we are taught by the Word of God. And so throughout all phases of life, we should be willing to continuously have this spirit and this disposition about ourselves that, yes, we can be taught. We can still learn something new, even though we may have experienced many things. And so the Bible says of itself that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's where the Word of God, that's where the Scripture comes from, is the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, which is teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so again, whether we're in a late stage of life or wherever we are at in life, that we would be willing to be instructed in the ways of righteousness. And so it's not so much only that we would be taught and we would come to knowledge of something that is true, but that would impact our lives, that our lives would be changed because of what we have been taught, because of what we have learned or relearned because we had forgotten it. And so we look to God and to His Word at all phases of life to be taught. We can see throughout Scriptures the beauty of the teachings that are written here that give us life. The Word of God gives us life. And then we can see examples of those who didn't, those who said, no, I will not. I will not heed the Word of God. I will not do what God would have me to do, but I will do my own thing. And so In Psalms we read in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 that it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. This is somebody who will not be taught, who will not be instructed, but he has made it clear in his mind that there is no God, but he is a fool. He is a fool. And then there's other examples also. One of Pharaoh, who, though Moses had shown many miracles by the hand of God to Pharaoh, Pharaoh would not be moved by it. He would not be teachable. He would not learn from it. And then he says, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? That's a fool who said in his heart, there is no God. So there are examples in the Bible where it's clear that there are those that will not learn and will not be taught by God or by His Word. But there are examples in the Bible of those that did. Those that did lend themselves over to the Lord and were willing and are willing in whatever stage of life they are to be taught by God's Word. So in Ecclesiastes we read, better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. So here's a king who'd come to his later years, and he will now no longer be admonished. He will no longer take instruction. And so the Bible says it's better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king. And then Jesus also himself taught and said, except ye be converted and become as little children who can learn, who are teachable, says you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so it doesn't matter what our education background is or what our life experiences have been, we still have capacity to be taught yet more and more. The Bible also says that it's very important, teaches us that it's very important that we do something with what we have learned. Again, it's not simply that we would have head knowledge and understand what the Bible says, but that we would let that head knowledge go down into our heart and that it would change us, that it would change and mold us to make us to be whom God would have us to be. And so if we, by God's grace, take the scriptures and apply them to our heart, it'll be well with us. In Galatians, it speaks of that, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if we are sowing in the word and we are absorbing knowledge and wisdom and understanding and instruction from the word, and then we're living that out and we're growing in that, we will reap from that. But if we become as Pharaoh was, or as others were, that we would say, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Then we will reap that as well. And so as we consider this proverb that we read here this afternoon together, let's go with this in mind. Let's consider these few verses, certainly not all of them, but a few of these verses here, that we have room to be taught. We all have room to be taught. And let's let that teaching of the Word of God make a difference in our lives, that we would reap that which would be good and right in God's sight. So he begins here in chapter 13 of Proverbs and says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son, he will listen. He will heed. He will be taught. He will have that teachableness about himself. A wise son will hear his father's instruction. His father has seen more things than the son has. And so the father would give instruction to a son. And so a wise son is one that will be teachable and will absorb that instruction to his heart and make a difference in his life. Again, to honor God and even honor his earthly father as well. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. Again, I don't want to dwell so much on the negative. I want to have a message that's more encouraging and more building up, that we would be encouraged in our faith. But here he is saying that a scorner will hear not rebuke. And also in verse number 8, it says that the poor heareth not rebuke. And again, going back to that old and foolish king, he will no longer be instructed. He will no longer be rebuked or reproved. But a scorner is one who speaks ill about something or someone often or all the time. That's who a scorner is. And a scorner will not be rebuked or will not change his heart, but will continue to have that stiff neck. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressors shall eat violence. The Bible instructs us that we should be slow to speak, swift to hear, and slow to wrath. It's important that we watch what we would say with our mouth, and when we speak that which would be good, that which would glorify God, that which would be in congruent with the Word, then we will reap good from that, and we will eat the fruit of that which we would say. And again, as it says there in Galatians 6, in Galatians chapter 6, I believe it's verse 7, that whatsoever we sow, that we shall reap. And so with our mouth, we ought to bless God. And now I'm reminded again of James, where he says, a fountain can't bring forth sweet and bitter water. From our mouth ought to be blessing, and that continuously. And speaking of the goodness of God and of a way that leads to salvation, and perhaps that there will be a time when some reproof will need to be spoken as well, but that reproof needs to be spoken in love. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Again, how important it is that we need to watch what we think about, and certainly then what we say, because as Jesus Christ said, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And it will be revealed of what spirit we are of by the words we use. So if when we keep our mouth from speaking evil things, we keep our life. And so this is a lesson I believe each and every one of us can take to heart and to our lives, because I believe I can fairly say that we have all said things that were regrettable. We've said things that we simply have great regret over saying them. And so it's important that we keep our mouth, that it would be guided by the direction of the Holy Spirit. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. The righteous, when we're dealing with whatever it might be, it's always important that what is spoken of is truth, that there would be no lie in that which would be as part of the conversation, but that it would always be truth that would be spoken among ourselves, and that we would hate lying, as the Bible is saying here. But a wicked man is loathsome, a man who's always speaking lies or always of bringing a repulsiveness about himself, the Bible is saying he comes to shame. So again, this first section of this chapter speaks much about what's coming out of our mouth. It needs to be that which would be good and right to the edifying of the hearers, that would bring God honor and glory, and that we would remember this over and over, and that it would be a part of our lives. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. The liberty of a man's life are his riches in Christ. The ransom, this would be our liberty. This is what we have joy in a liberty to go to Jesus Christ. This is the riches that we share as we walk in his ways, as we are continuously being molded and shaped to his image, the image of Jesus Christ. The light of the righteous rejoiceth. We rejoice in the light of Jesus Christ. We rejoice when we follow in his ways. We rejoice when we come to know him. We rejoice when Jesus is taking us to a deeper level, a level of service, a level of committing our lives to him, a level of carrying our cross. We rejoice in this light of Jesus Christ. And then in verse number 10, it speaks of, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Those who are yielded to the word, those who study to show themselves approved, those who have continuously adapted themselves to the life of Jesus Christ, there is wisdom there, and we are well advised by that. But it says here that only by pride cometh contention. It's by pride that there is this striving, contention, the argument, the debating, and James speaks of that in his epistle, where he says, "From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Is not this coming from pride? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have not, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." This is speaking of having that contention, and that contention is coming by pride. And then so he further on, then he says, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And we see that truth, it's not only written here in James 4, but it's also written in other places as well. We see this truth to be true, that God resists the proud. God resists them. God doesn't have a use, or God can't use those who are proud, because they're not teachable. They're not going to be molded. They have stiff necks. So God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Those who are willing to be taught, those who are coming to the Word of God and reading the Word of God and having a desire, how can I serve God better? How can I change my ways to do what God would have me to do? And God gives grace, and he gives it in an abundant measure. And so he says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." These are the truths that we see in God's Word. And so as we draw nigh to God, as we come to him in sincere prayer, in honest prayer, God will come to us, and God will supply his abundant grace to us. So it says, "Only by pride cometh contention." In 1 Corinthians 11, we also read there that it says, it speaks about a teaching, and then after it speaks about of that teaching, it says, "But if any of you seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God." The churches of God do not have a custom or a teaching of contentiousness. Contention comes from pride. "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when desire cometh, it is a tree of life." When we know that Jesus Christ is coming and that we will live for him in all eternity, and our focus is upon him, and our desire is to serve him, and we know that one day he will come, and we will be with him throughout all eternity. We will experience life and joy and fullness. Well, we will be in the presence of God, where there will be no need for the sun. Well, there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more tears. None of that anymore. And that hope we have, and that's a tree of life for us. When that desire comes, it's the tree of life for us. But again, it requires that we have a teachable spirit throughout all phases of life. Verse number 13 says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." He's giving a cause and effect. And again, going back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, where it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And so it's saying here that if we despise the word of God, we will be destroyed. Just as Pharaoh was destroyed because he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" But he that feareth the commandment, he that has respect to the commandment, he that wants to be changed, he that is willing to lay down his life and take up the life of Jesus Christ, he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Man is sometimes able to fool man, but man will never fool God. And so the Bible says, therefore, be not deceived. God's not mocked. God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, that we shall also reap. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. So here again, the message. What message is coming from us? Is it the message of the Lord? Are we a good messenger or a wicked messenger? A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. An ambassador, obviously, is one who represents another. And so we are Christ's representatives here upon this earth. And we are representing Jesus Christ. And so with faithfulness, we are to represent Jesus Christ in obedience. Represent him for who he is. One who didn't want to set up an earthly kingdom, neither do we. One who sought always to please the Father, so we ought to always seek to please the Father. And we will be a faithful ambassador, and it will be well with us. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. I believe we can all honestly say none of us like to be reproved or rebuked. But if we are wise, we will take that reproof and that rebuke, and we will regard it, and the Bible says we would be honored. But yet again, ultimately we want God to be honored. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Again, good, simple instruction, a proverb, a short saying that reveals a truth. And here it is, another short saying that reveals a truth. Who do we associate with? Is it with wise men? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The Bible speaks continuously of fools or those that desire to do evil. They're headed for destruction. There's no other way. The destruction is imminent. It's coming. If it's not now, it's going to be a little bit later. But destruction is coming. If we associate ourselves with fools or those who want to do evil, destruction is coming. Let's lay that to heart. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of sinners is laid up for the just. One of the messages from this morning was to have an eternal perspective. Have a perspective of we're looking for that which is far beyond the circumstances of this life. That which is eternal far outweighs what this life situation is about. And so a good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. A good man is always has a long-term thinking. A long-term thinking, not what's happening in the moment, what's happening right now, and to seek favor or something of that nature for the moment, right now, instant gratification. But a wise man is forward-thinking, long-term thinking. And perhaps it needs to be extremely long thinking, because sometimes we could be going through a hurt or a difficult situation, and it might be simply just overwhelming. We cannot get past it. This is something big. Well, let's think long term. Let's think really long term. A million years from now, will it matter? Will it matter? Does it make a difference? That's what matters. Is that which would be extremely long-term thinking. And so wise people think about not only the impact of their behavior at this exact moment, but how does their attitude and how does their behavior affect that which would impact their grandchildren? What decisions am I making today? Are they going to impact my grandchildren good? Or will it not be good for them? So a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. It's certainly necessary as parents that we direct our children. We direct them to good behavior. We direct them to say good things. And often the case may be is that a simple word of instruction is sufficient. And sometimes that word needs to be emphasized a little bit. And usually, in most times, that's sufficient. That's sufficient. They get the message, they understand it, and perhaps a reminder would need to happen as a follow-up. But there may be even sometimes that some chastening needs to happen. Chastening him betimes, from time to time. That may need to happen. That is not child abuse. To chasten him betimes, to instruct him in the way of righteousness. Child abuse is to say, go ahead, child, you do it how you want. I'm not going to teach you, I'm not going to guide you, and you do however you want. That is child abuse. But if we love our children, we will care for them, we will direct them in the way of the Lord. Then this chapter concludes with, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. So again, we heard some of that this morning. The righteous eateth to the satisfying of the soul. We eat as a measure to sustain this body. That's the purpose of eating. And we're getting to a season with the holidays coming up that typically Americans tend to eat in excess. And it should be careful. We should be careful that we, as God's children, as we, as God's people, that we don't go to excesses. That we would eat to the satisfying of the soul. That we would glorify God. That we would be thankful for what He has given unto us, but not go to excess. We cannot have the Word of God conform to our lifestyle. That cannot happen. We need to conform our lives to the Word. We need to abide by it. We need to live by it. And whatever it is that, whatever stage it is in life that we are at, we need to let God's Word direct us. Let His Word guide us. Let His Word mold us and make us to whom He would have us to be. That beautiful teaching of God is the potter, and we are the clay. That's who we are. Let Him mold us and let Him make us into the image that He wants us to be. We need to be teachable. We cannot reach our 50s, our 60s, our 70s, and our 80s and say, I'm not going to be taught anymore. I already know everything. Nobody can tell me anything. We can't get to that point in life. We always need to be taught by His Word. Let Him mold us. Let Him make us to the image that He wants us to be. When we do that, we will glorify Him, and we will encourage others to do the same as well. And so my prayer is that we would take God's Word, the Proverbs, and throughout all the Scriptures, that we would be instructed by the inspiration of God, by His Word in our lives. Amen.
Proverbs contain so much useful instruction for us, and it's a blessing to consider the words that have been penned. If I could pick one verse to bring out in closing, it would be verse 7. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And as we were reminded of the eternal riches that are in God, we are to be setting our affection on those things that are above. There was a man that was rich, that became poor, but his life was exemplary. We would be very, very impressed with his resume. And he was able to debate for 36 chapters with his three friends about God and righteousness. But when he came face to face with God and his word, and he considered the works of God's hands, I think he realized, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? He said, I have heard thee This is, of course, Job. I have heard thee of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. A great man, a man of faith and man of godliness, yet before God he knew who he was. And it was life and health to him. It was a blessing. May we all find the blessing of knowing who we are before God and seeing how we should approach his throne of grace for help in time of need and fear his commands and obey him. May God bless his word. Amen.